Good morning, guys. How you doing? Like Jeff said, it's been so good to get to know Joe and Jeff a little bit. I met Jeff even in my first visit here after I was officially hired, but we hadn't fully moved over here. That some Vineyard pastors in Victoria got together and we had dinner, and I met Jeff at that time, and they had been here for about 9 months or a year at that point. And I said, "How's it going?" He said, "Great." And he said, "We love it here. It's fantastic." I said, "Have the people been welcoming to you?" And he said, "Oh, it's just been great." So that really was an encouragement to me, because I know in the pecking order of Aussie embracing of cultures, Americans are slightly ahead of the British. And so if you welcomed a Brit, I knew that we would probably be okay. And so, was that delusional of me? Or delusional of you that they actually like you? Okay, going. Yes, that's true. I understand that the favor among the Americans is plummeting like the American dollar right now. I understand that. So, but thank you for honoring us and embracing us in that way. It's been good to get to know. We've been here for 3 years now, and this is the second or third. Now, we visited a couple times, and we sneak in the back every once in a while and show up. We just bring our prophetic friends over and just unleash them on you and let them explode stuff, and then we just watch and laugh. So it's been fun bringing Jan over here as well as David Wagner, and it's been great. We've gotten to know Matt and Ann a little bit more. Matt and Ann Armstead, we're in Connecticut. Now, America's a big place. But I'm from a very small state called Connecticut, and most Americans have no idea where Connecticut is. It's just north of New York City, and Matt and Ann were in Connecticut the same time Carrie and I were there, and we our churches did things together, and we got to know Jan and David through and so on. But we never met until we moved here, so it's been fantastic, and now that they're part of your group, and we've gotten to know Steve and Nicola and Marty and Andrea and Gareth and Kirsten a little bit, and so it's just been fun getting to know the family, right? Yes. Thank you for lying. I appreciate it. That's been good. I just want to let you know that there are people on at least five continents today that are praying for you guys. And we have something we have a group of friends. It's kind of a Facebook group called the Butterfield Prayer Partners. And it's just people that we've gotten to know from America and from Australia and from Asia now. And we have friends in Asia and in Europe. And so we're really praying for South America. We need some connections in South America. But anyways, we just want to let you know that they're praying for you. If you ever want to join the Butterfield Prayer Partners and just pray for us, we'd love that. It'd be great, and just extend the relational connection. That would be awesome. Just go on Facebook and look up Butterfield Prayer Partners. I think we're the only group that's called that. So there might be another group called the Enemies of the Butterfields that, you know, don't join them. But we just really appreciate it. I also just was encouraged. I said to Carrie during worship, I just said, not only has this place grown, I think, numerically over the past 3 years that we've been here, there's a shift in this place over this church that's taken place. Something's different. And I think that's only increasing. And yeah, in so many different ways. And you have any more with that? Yeah.
Expectation is growing.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to put it. There's a faith environment that's here, and not that it was bad before. I'm not saying that. It's hard to say, to acknowledge new developments without dishonoring what was before. That's not true. You know, it's when someone goes, "Oh, you look really good now." You know, was I absolutely hideous before? You know, could you barely look in my direction? You know, thanks for that. And they're really just trying to say, you know, kind of trying to give you the compliment. But anyways, something's shifted in this place. And I know God, and it's a beginning. I don't think it's fully that. You have not arrived at the destination yet. It's still in transition, but something's happening in this place. And I just want to acknowledge that. We have some friends that came from Lilydale and hung out with us today just to support us. And Chris and Lauren and Rachel and Justin are here with us. So I just want to acknowledge their presence just to hang out with us. Actually, Chris and Lauren didn't know that we were going to be here. And so Chris got a little nervous when he saw Carrie, and we just said, you know, if anyone goes to another church, we follow you. Take that out. Only half joking. Just kidding. No, we're so glad that they're here. I want to say this before I forget, and, part of what we believe is part of bringing the kingdom is that God is still in the business of healing. He's in a good mood, and he's, you know, the New Testament, the book of Acts wasn't just God's greatest hits 2,000 years ago, that he's still doing this stuff today. And during worship, I was just asking the Lord what he was doing and what he wanted to do, and then I got two pains. And one was a pain in the neck, and it had nothing to do with Jeff at all. But I got a pain that I know it's not mine, and it's in the right side of the neck, going down the right side into the right shoulder, but it's muscular in nature, and so there's pain there. So if that's you, if you've got that pain, if it's an ongoing thing or something that you've just been having lately, during prayer time, there will be people over here. Is that right, Jeff? That will pray for you. Just let them know I'm the person, or, you know, a couple of people. And it might be more than just that, but I can definitely feel it in the muscle. And I know it's not mine because it's gone now. The second thing was pain in the left shoulder. Not up here but so much, but even in the shoulder muscle and like in the rotator cuff area. And if that's you, if you've had pain in that way, I think it even goes down on the underside of the bicep. So if that's you, please be willing to get some prayer for that too. We had a word last week about backs, and it came from a person who just said to Carrie, I think the week before or two, I never get words of knowledge like that. It never happens to me. And Carrie just said, well, just be patient. And she just had a pain in the lower back. And I think we had like five or six people come up for prayer, including this lady who said it was the second time they've been to our church. She was all nervous. She just said, I never come forward for prayer. I never ask people for prayer like this. And she was all nervous. But you could just see just God met her in a real way. And we had a chance to pray for it. And we had improvement on a lot of backs. So just be tenacious with that, okay? Just take it. Because it's their honor to pray for you in that way. It's fantastic. Great. Now we're going to try something. And Jeff said, I don't know how it's going to go. And I have no idea how it's going to go. It's up to you, really. But I can get away with more because I'm visiting and I'm leaving. So if you never have me back, I understand why. I want to do something a little bit interactive. And we're not going to spend a ton of time with this, but I'd love to have you maybe around your tables or in your rows or just move around a little bit. I'd love for you just to spend a couple minutes answering this question. And, I don't want just Sunday school answers. And there's, you know, don't worry about getting it wrong because, you know, someone else will too. I want you to answer this question. We all know that God is powerful and that we believe in the power of God. But I want you just to answer this question, just a couple things. Can you tell me what does God's power do and what is God's power for? Okay? And when God's power shows up, what happens? Does that make sense? They're not three questions. It's just kind of all nebulous one. Okay? What's God's power for? What does God's power do? When God's power shows up, what happens? Okay, you get that? Take about 3 minutes to answer that question. Okay, go ahead. Okay, wrap it up. I'm eager to hear some of your answers. So try to keep your answers real brief, okay? So maybe just a couple of them. I'll do this just quickly. So listen up carefully. It was interesting. I could hear you guys whispering around your tables because the acoustics in this room, someone can whisper over there, and you can hear it over there. I understand that. But if you can, just try to speak up so we can hear you. What happens when God's power shows up, or what's God's power do or for? Yeah. Cool. All right. God's power for everything. Who's it for? Everyone. And what happens when God shows up? Stuff. That's cool. I love that word. It's a great word. Stuff, as Jeff would say. Right? Stuff. Okay. Someone else? Anyone else get an answer? Yeah? Okay. I like the word transforms and heals, too. That's a fantastic one. We've seen God's power just to heal, just show up regularly. We had a guy named Chris who was, we had a word of knowledge about pain in the shoulder and in the neck pain. There are two separate things that caused it. It came from an accident. And Chris responded to that, came forward. He's a really shy, quiet guy, came forward for prayer. We laid hands on him and prayed that God's power would come upon him and his kingdom power would come upon him. And we prayed for his neck and his shoulder. It came through two separate accidents, just like the word of knowledge came with. One was a motorcycle accident. I can't remember what the other one was. And we prayed for him, and we said, how do you feel? Test it out. How does it feel? And he goes, yeah, it feels good. It feels better. And he started moving around. He goes, yeah. And it happened, like, well, is it, you know, just a little bit better, some better, or a lot better, or 100%? And he goes, it's 100%. And he goes, the more I move it, the better it feels. Chris is a painter, and all day long, he has to go like this with his shoulder and look up and down. And it's since then, it's been about 5 months now, no pain whatsoever. So God's power to heal. It's so cool to see that way. We just had another lady who was prayed for a couple weeks ago that's had chronic knee injuries and pain and has been prayed for a lot. But she came again and was prayed for, and she said, it feels a little bit better, just a little bit better. And she was encouraged by that. So we prayed for her again, and about the same. And then she went from church, she went to a grocery store, and she was getting out of the car in the grocery store. She was walking to the grocery store and realized, she's going, hey, my knee feels fantastic. In fact, I'm not limping at all. It's the first time since I've known her, so 3 years, that she hasn't walked with just, you know, just a limp. She was just walking, and she just realized it. She came back for an evening thing that we were doing, and she showed the person that prayed for her, and she was running. And for the first time ever. So to get a lady to run in front of people, you know, and she's maybe a little older in years, she has life experience, I put it that way. Anyways, it's just a fantastic way. God heals, transforms. That's another one. God transforms lives, cities. We're going to look at what happened to a city when it gets transformed in a second by the power of God. That's fantastic. Anything else? Yeah.
All these things, and yet he so loves us that he is involved in each and every one.
Yeah.
And us being so small and not powerful, and yet he just loves us. So
yeah. He is powerful. He holds the whole universe together. He spoke planets into existence. And but he cares about intimate details of our lives and each other. One way that's described is one of the ladies in our church, she woke up in the morning and God spoke to her in a still, small, gentle voice and just said, someone you know is going to ask you for money. And this isn't someone that normally likes to ask for money, doesn't ask for money, and is very embarrassed by even the thought of this, but they're going to ask for money, and I want you to give them this amount. And it was a pretty significant amount for this woman, but a specific number, and it was going to be a step of faith. So she said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And she was waiting all day for someone to, you know, ask her for money. And I saw her that day, and I missed my opportunity, I guess. But she got an email in the afternoon from a friend of hers, and just, they weren't overtly asking for money because they were embarrassed to do so, but they were acknowledging that there's a need, and boy, if anyone could help, that would be great. And she knew exactly who it was. She got their banking details. She waited till the afternoon and went to the bank and had money direct deposit in the amount that the Lord told her to give. It was a big sacrifice for her. It was a big number for her. But she knew the Lord told her to do it. And she also knew that God was powerful enough to do anything. And about an hour after she did that, she didn't tell anyone about this. And an hour after that happened, there was a knock on her door. And it was a mom with her three kids. And they said, listen, we know, you know, that you don't receive things like this, and you know, but the Lord just told us we're supposed to give you some money, and you have to accept it. And they handed her an envelope, and inside was the exact dollar amount that the Lord told her to give someone else. And that's the God who is holding this ever-expanding universe in his hands, cares enough about at least three different families to bring a creative miracle and a powerful miracle in that way. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. It's so cool. Anything else? Yeah.
Two words.
Yeah. Okay. Sozo is a Greek word that actually means, it means saved, it means salvation, but what it's talking about is three concepts of being saved, salvation of soul, being healed, which often is body. It's used three times, at least three different ways in the New Testament, and delivered, which means to be delivered from the enemy in that way. That's a huge one. The other one is a Hebrew word, shalom, which means peace. But it's kind of a, it's much more than just, you know, the absence of chaos. It's just the presence of peace. You know, the Holy Spirit's called the comforter, the peace giver. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace in that way. It's this supernatural presence of peace. I'll pick up on the sozo one, especially the delivered one. When God's power comes up, comes and shows up, there's often a power conflict between God and the enemy, or the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world in which we live in. A couple weeks ago, we had a guy visit us who was invited by a friend of his. He's a young guy, about 28, 29. He's a musician. He's a very good musician. He's played in a lot of bands around the area and spent a lot of time developing his gifts in that way, and has been in the music business and industry for a long time. And he's also been involved in some pretty dark spiritual activity, okay? Some New Age stuff, some occult stuff, just a lot of pretty dark. He's had a lot of experiences with spirituality, but not necessarily from a kingdom of God, from Jesus' perspective. And he shows up to this, our church, invited by a friend, and he walked in, and these are his words. When I walked into your church, he said, I just felt a power, and he says, and I've felt spiritual power before, but not like this. He just said it was just clean and pure, but really powerful. And he said, as soon as I walked in the building, then he sat down and then the music started playing. And he said, the first note that was being played, he said, same thing. He said, I've felt powerful music in my life. And this was really powerful, but it was totally different. And he said, I just became emotional. And he just said, something happened. I just started crying a little bit. And I didn't know why. I wasn't sad. I wasn't depressed or anything. Then I got up and told a story like this about a vineyard pastor who had gone had led through a deliverance, and that's a whole other story I won't tell. And as I'm telling this story, and if you've been in our church, you'll see artwork around our place. And as I'm telling the story about this other vineyard pastor going through this deliverance thing, one of our paintings right next to me fell and hit the ground. And it was one of those moments that could have been just coincidence, but you knew it wasn't. And it was at our 9 a.m. service, which tends to be a little bit more reserved. And this thing hits the ground, and I go, huh, that's interesting. And then I continue to tell the story. During the service, he had to leave three times to go to the toilet because he was just weeping, and he didn't know why. He said, and these are his words, he said, I didn't see a picture that fell, but he said, but I heard it, and he said, the only way I can describe it was when that thing fell and hit the ground, something came off of me, and my heart opened up to receive faith, now those are his words, that I couldn't before, and everything was just different. That's the transformation. About a week later, he gave his life to Jesus, officially, but he said he did it that day. He just needed to seal the deal, I guess. And we prayed for him because he's not been able to sleep because he's been tormented by the presence of other things. We prayed for him, we broke those things off of him, and he sleeps like a baby right now. The picture that fell was a picture of the cross and chains being broken by the cross. Isn't that cool? That's so cool to see God do that stuff. Yeah. God, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of talk, but a kingdom of power. Isn't that cool? That's just a cool description? One sentence, what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not a kingdom of just mere talk or speech. It's a kingdom of power. Well, today we're going to look at a church and what they experienced in power, and then we're going to relate it to what I believe God is saying for this place and for you guys. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Keep your finger there, and we're going to look at Acts 19 very briefly. Jeff, I totally have no idea what time I'm on right now, so when I'm getting close to the end, just give me the high sign. And Okay, let's pray. Close? Okay, 10 minutes? Okay. Yeah, okay.
That's
right. Oh, there, very good. Very good. Can someone go grab lunch for the rest of us? I think there's some loaves over there, some fish. We're good to go. That's good. But I know in Australia it has to be battered fried fish, and then we'll be good. So that's this letter, the letter of or the book that we have called Ephesians, was a letter that Paul wrote to a church in the city of Ephesus. It was extremely major city of the day. It would be equivalent to a Melbourne or, you know, a New York or a London. It was a massive, big city. It was an influential city. It was a trade city. It was a commerce city. And it was a religious, spiritual hub of the known world at the time. It was an incredibly religious culture in many different ways, including they had this massive temple to a Greek god called Artemis. And how this church was birthed was Paul went to this city in Ephesus, and they understood power. I'm going to read from a passage of scripture that's going to use the word power a lot, and it's Paul's prayer for the city. But they understood, they had an experience of power that birthed the church. It started by Paul coming to these guys and realizing that there was a handful of people that already believed and had been baptized, like the baptism that John had. And he comes to them and he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "No, we've never even heard of it." So they explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They lay hands on these 12, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Another group of Gentiles, non-Jewish people, that received the same anointing that the Jews received in Jerusalem in the book of Acts. And they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but baptized in the Spirit, and began speaking in other tongues. Power came, because that's how Jesus described the when the Holy Spirit shows up. He said, go back to Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit to come, and the Spirit will come upon you in power. That Greek word is the word dunamis, which we get the word dynamite. Boom, power. So this group in Ephesus, a small group, 12 people, don't underestimate your little church. When God shows up, whether it's 2 or 3 or 4 or 12 people or 12,000, if he shows up, there's power. They get saved. Then this church starts to expand. Paul's weird, miraculous, someone prayed for that the weird stuff of God would show upon me. Joe prayed for that today. In this city, Paul started praying over handkerchiefs or scarves, and they'd be taken to sick people, and they'd get well. The people that had some demonic activity in their life or demonic oppression in their life, it would receive this scarf that Paul prayed over, and the demons would come out with a shriek, and people would be set free, sozo, saved, healed, and delivered. Just for praying over cloth. How many think that's weird? Me? That's it? Well, Jeff, this must be happening every week over here. That's fantastic. You guys are further ahead down the road than we are. That's just weird, praying over a cloth and taking it to someone. Hey, Steve, you got a cold. Here's this, you know, prayer cloth. Free, by the way. And we'll hand it to you. And people get healed. And that's not Paul's power. It's the power of God working in weird stuff. Not only that, these other guys catch on in the city that powerful stuff happens when the name of Jesus is used to bring kingdom power. So these Jewish people that haven't believed in Jesus but see what happens when Jesus' name is used, they pray for this guy who's got pretty powerful demons on him. And they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out. And the demon, pretty smart, knows that they don't have power or authority, says, We know about Jesus, and we know about Paul. And basically they say this, who the heck are you? And this guy overpowers 7 of these guys and gives them a beating, rips off their clothes, and sends them out in the street bloody and naked. What happens? The whole city sees the power of God compared to the power of the demonic and knows that the power of the name of Jesus is far superior. So what happens is they are gripped by the power of God, and they come together, the whole city, and they gather their, because they were very into sorcery and witchcraft and magic and false religions, and they take all of their printed material of sorcery and magic and the occult and paganism, and they bring it together, and they have a bonfire. And it says in Acts chapter 19 that 50,000 drachmas worth of stuff. Now, I don't carry drachmas. I haven't invested in the drachma lately. But it's about 137 years' wages that were burned up by these people, realizing that there's a far greater power in Jesus than in what they've been practicing. They knew power, and they saw a greater power come into existence. Today's money, my son Noah and I figured out this once, it was between $7 and $10 million worth of stuff that they burned, that they valued, and now say, this is worthless compared to the all-surpassing power of Jesus Christ. That's how this church was birthed. And here's what Paul writes to this church. And we'll go through this quickly. I'm sorry, we don't have much time. So he prays for this church in Ephesus. Paul's no longer with them. He's gone out now, but he's praying for this church that he's birthed out. He's spent at least 2 years teaching about the power of the kingdom of God, demonstrating it in signs and wonders. They were amazed at the things that took place here. And here's what Paul prays, verse 14. Follow with me, and I want you to, if you have your own Bible, circle the word power. If you have someone else's Bible, circle it twice, okay? That's good. They need to hear this. Verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. Even in our culture, we pass on almost often the name of the Father to the next family. And Paul's saying that. We carry the Father's name with us. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, in your spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be all glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Paul says over and over in this passage, he talks about the power of God, the strength and power of God, that's all surpassing power, that he is able, he is powerful enough to do what beyond anything we can imagine. I've got a pretty big imagination. And this church in Ephesus, they understood power. And Paul is saying, even what you've already experienced, God is more powerful or is able to do more than you can ask or imagine or even think. That's the God we serve. And he's praying that they would understand and receive power. Now, I want you to notice this. In the middle of this, that Paul's talking about his glorious riches. He's talking about his immense power. His immeasurable power. They've already experienced it, but he prays something in the middle of this that the power of God will do, and I think this is important. I'll tie it in with what I think is on Barrack Vineyard. He says, I pray that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints. Now, that word power is not the same word as dunamis. It's another Greek word. I would try to impress you with the pronunciation of it, but I would fail miserably. But it's a different word than the dynamite power. And what this word often gets translated, and you might have it in your different translation, is the word ability. It's a correct translation, but I think it's a weak translation. I think the better translation is power. And what this means is basically, it can be described as ability, but it's saying a supernatural ability. This is not a human ability. This is not just your intellectual capacity or ability. This isn't just, you know, something that you can just pass on through teaching it. This is a supernatural ability. And what's this supernatural ability? I pray that you may have power, verse 18, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses human knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Filled with what? Filled with his love. To the full measure of God. God's pretty big. Paul prays for his friends in Ephesus, knowing that they've experienced kingdom power, supernatural power, power encounters. They've experienced signs and wonders, that the whole city was amazed at the encounters that they were having with God. How many of you long for that in this region? Yes, I know you do. Well, we're going to keep contending until that power starts showing up more and more and more. But in the middle of this, Paul says, I also pray that you would have supernatural ability or power to grasp his love. How high and how wide and how deep, how immense his love is. Because it surpasses human thinking. What Paul is saying is it will take a supernatural ability for us to get a clue how big and how awesome and how gracious and how merciful and how real his love is for you. You cannot get it just by someone telling you God loves you. You cannot get it even by someone preaching to you the truth of God's word. Now, before you throw anything at me, what I'm trying to say is there's plenty of people who have read in Scripture that God loves them and have had it preached to them. But what it takes, and what Paul understands, is it takes a supernatural ability. That means it takes a revelation from God, from his truth to your spirit, to be able to get a clue how immense and passionate he is for you. His love is immeasurable. And there are so many people that go to church and they hear the truth of God's word. Fantastic. And they hear people tell them, God loves you. And they might even tell other people that the same way. But they've never had a supernatural encounter with the immensity of God's love for you. They've never received it. They've never had a revelation. They've never had God whisper in there and says, I love you. You are my child. And it is my love for you is far bigger than any ideology, philosophy, or theological concept. My love for you is not merely a doctrine. It is a reality that you need to encounter, and that's a supernatural thing. And until you do that, you might get wowed by the stuff I do. But you'll only be transformed when it's revealed into your heart how much I love you. It cost me everything. It cost me my son. You were worth the Son of God being horribly, maliciously rejected, despised, beaten brutally for you to understand and come into a relationship with the love of God. And why do I think this is important for Barak? Because I believe that this church has a call upon this church. You as a people, and it's so cool to start already seeing it happen. This will be a place known by the power of God. You need to pursue that because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. And Barak in this region deserves to have an encounter with the all-powerful, omnipotent God. They deserve not just to have the counterfeit. They deserve to have the real deal. Ephesus had the counterfeit power. But when they saw the real deal, they said, whoa, this is different. And I believe that this church has an anointing and a calling for power, kingdom power, true power, Jesus power, weird power, immeasurable power. And when people walk in these doors or you encounter them in the streets, they're going to go, something's different. These people don't just talk about it because the kingdom isn't a kingdom of just talk. They live it. They experience it. They encounter it. They've got story after story after story after story of transformation, of healing, of God touching small areas, of God bringing the peace of him into chaotic situations, bringing saving, salvation, healing, and delivery. You're going to experience it and go after that because this region needs it. However, he's also calling this place to be a place where supernatural love is experienced individually and communally together. And that is as powerful as the weird and miraculous signs and wonders that God wants to bring to this region. But it is a supernatural encounter. And as you pray for God to heal and save and deliver, which I know is going to happen, that will be even more radically empowered by a supernatural ability to receive love and to give it. And where the theology of the love of God is experienced in daily, regular encounters with the God who loves you. And when the reason you pray for healing is because you know God loves this person and wants to bring wholeness to their bodies. And the reason you pray for salvation is because you know the Father paid the ultimate price so that person can experience not just life and eternity, that's going to be cool, but they need to have it here right now. And when you prophesy over people and speak the very heart of God, you're not just going to be impressed by the clarity of forthtelling and foretelling, exposing the secrets of their heart. It's going to come with a fiery heart, passionate love that people go, I hear your words and they're so accurate, but I've never experienced that accuracy with love before. Because I've had my psychic read. I've had spiritual readings. I've had tarot cards. I've called fortune tellers. I've done the astrology thing. And they've had a measure of success. But when you speak, I hear love and life being poured out over me. And that will change a region and a city and a nation. Barrack Vineyard, God has an anointing on you for the power of God to show up in weird ways. And I haven't preached this anywhere else. You can ask Carrie. This is a new one. But supernatural knowledge and encounters with the love of God. God's calling you to pursue his kingdom with power. But it's got to come with the supernatural power of the love of God. And those two things blended together, you'll see amazing things happen. Each one of you. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you right now. And I want to pray that if you've never experienced a supernatural encounter and experience and a revelation in your heart, that God loves you. He's not disillusioned with you because he's never been illusioned by you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your history. He knows your baggage and your stuff. He's not threatened by it. He's not disappointed in it. He might be disappointed for you, but not disappointed in you. And if we're going to be the people that God calls us to be, we have to know the love of God that which we preach. So just close your eyes and bow your head. And I'm going to ask Jeff to come on up too. And I just want to pray this for you. And I think we're going to do some other stuff too. Jeff, do you want to wait?
I'm going to look at our elders. If I can find them. There's a couple. I just want to say I believe that that's a prophetic word for our church. And I want to see your nods or shakes or I don't knows. Okay. And it's important to say that because that means you can sign up for it and go after it. That it just completely and utterly resonates with what God's been saying to us and doing among us. It's the power of love, if you like, that releases the power of power. Yes. Now I know she wouldn't do anything if she wasn't something to do. So.
No, this is just really to confirm that prophetic thing, because in our little group, we were challenged for time, for those of us that speak a lot, and the very first word that came out was love. What is power is love. And then to encapsulate all the other things of how love is expressed, whether it be all the ministry, you know, of the kingdom that we're familiar with, there was a quick diagram given of, you know, like a reciprocal arrows going around in a circular motion. So doing something wrong up. Okay. I'll be eating it soon. So love, the arrow coming down of love, and then it is expressed in power and vice versa. So the more power where there's, the more love, and the more love where, do you know what I mean? It just keeps going around. So that's where we started from. So everything you've said has fitted in really, really well with that.
And just to add to it, which is, I guess, part of the prophetic edge of all of this encouragement, this is designed to release us for others. Amen. For others. For others. For others. And if we want to hoard this, we will not receive this.
Yeah.
That's really important to know that.
Yeah.
So that when you're receiving, That's the heart out of which you are receiving, because that's the context in which the power will be released and the supernatural love will be released.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. It's good. It's good. Yeah, man, let's pray for you. I know that there's people in here today that have been around church for a while and could preach this message better than I can. But if you were to be honest, either you never have or it's been a long time since you've encountered the love of God. And I just want to pray that God would give you, just like Paul prayed, the supernatural ability to grasp how high and how wide and how deep in his love. Paul was a religious guy, and he was a theological genius. But it was empty religion until he encountered the presence of Jesus Christ, and it transformed his life and ministry. And it was a power encounter with love that kept him going, sustained him, and empowered the supernatural in his life. Father, in your name, we just release right now the presence of your Holy Spirit with dunamis power to save and to heal and deliver. We release over this church and over this people and over this region right now the true power of God. Jesus, may your kingdom come with power. But Father, I also ask that as you release your kingdom power to save and to heal and deliver and transform, Jesus, may it come with a supernatural ability to get a grasp, a clue, an increasing revelation of your love. Yeah. May it shape and mold our identities. May it transform our destinies and realities. Father, may you give supernatural encounters with your presence. May you give a baptism of love. Father, may you just invade our space at night and in the morning. May your new mercies be transformational. Father, may you give us an encounter with the love of God. And we come against anything that has hindered that love to be released into the hearts and the minds and the spirits in our inner beings right now in Jesus' name. We break those things off. We break off every strategic attack against that love over people's lives. Every lie and accusation we come against with the truth that God loves you right now. And Father, we break off every curse, every word, every lie, every authority figure with bad attitudes towards us. We break those things off now in Jesus' name. And may you give this church a supernatural, powerful encounter with the love of God. Not just when we meet, not just when we gather, but daily, daily. May we hear stories of your power showing up, and may we hear stories of people just saying, I had an encounter with the love of God. I have a new revelation of his love for me. May it guide us and guard us. In Jesus' name, amen. Just maybe while we're trying to see what God's doing for us, I just encourage you just to sit with your eyes closed and maybe put yourself in some posture of just receiving. And don't just say yes and amen to my prayer for you. Just even say now, Father, give me new revelation of your love. Give me supernatural encounters with your presence. May the truth of your word invade my life, my thinking, my perspectives, my behaviors. I invite you, I ask for it, I will pursue it because you're worth it.
And that there's just a sense specifically that there's a group of people, not together, but there's a group of you who are saying, I hope this is for me. This might be for me. I hope it's for me. It is. It's like you're praying, but your head's down. And whatever sense of guilt or shame and condemnation that the enemy is laying on you means that there's a fear that you won't receive. It is God's desire that you receive and that you go after it. That you go after it. Because it's for you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Father, I pray that you would also show people right now the things that people or the enemy has done to them and then has been blamed you for those things, Lord. Father, there's people that have had the most horrific evil things done to them and then Satan has blamed you for them, Lord, and said, how can God be an all-loving God if he allowed this to happen or he did this to me? Jesus, will you bring truth of what you really wanted to happen for them? Will you show them where you were and what you were feeling and thinking in those moments, Lord Jesus? Will you reveal to them that it was not your design, your desire, or your destiny over their life? And Jesus, may you redeem those things for your glory. Thank you, Lord.
Just want to speak out too that this is not a place of conformity. This is a place of release and freedom. This is a place where you are accepted as you are.
That's good.
This is a place where you don't have to fit in to fit in. God accepts you as you are, and this is a place where God has been bringing the weird and the wonderful to us, because very often the weird are the wonderful. and God has been talking to us about this being a place where people who have always felt that they didn't belong can know that they belong, and to step into that. You belong. God accepts us as we are. We accept you as you are. And we and God are both committed to us all becoming all that we can be in him and through him. So if even now you've got that thought of not belonging, that isn't the truth. This is a place of acceptance.
Can I just say, I know the kids are coming back in and we welcome them. The Lord told me before, your kids, there's a lot of power on your kids. Don't dismiss them or devalue them. There's a lot that they care. You need to learn from them. That's good. Especially in the area of love and receiving it.